Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey everyone, David here with Pastor Bob Wilk.
Howdy over there.
And the late John Lennon. Oh. AKA Pastor Liz Jones.
Nice.
Is here. Is that
nice.
Liz?
Why are you wearing those purple sunglasses, Liz?
Are they purple?
They look that way from
they're green.
My angle. Or I guess they're green.
Blue.
Yeah, the lens kind of looks purplish to me.
I don't know. You can tell me whatever color you want them to
did,
be.
Did right. something happen to you? Why are you wearing that?
I'm fine.
I okay, cool. just, right. Well, I think fine. This is good that we're chatting about this because it's giving people who are just listening time to switch over to something you can watch because you definitely want to watch Liz.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
It's probably not the best idea.
Yeah. It's all good. No, we're glad. This will help you get through podcasts because I think it's an important subject today. Would you guys agree that the subject's important?
Yes.
Our subject is God the Son.
It is?
AKA Jesus. Oh. All right. And so I think it's our privilege to talk about this. And so I just want to get into it if you guys are ready.
He needs to adjust his microphone because no one can hear him.
Yeah. I can't even hear me.
We're getting Bob ready.
Bob complains.
Yeah.
Chrome up. Chrome up here.
This is Pastor Bob. I was listening to the podcast and I couldn't hear myself. Like, when in the history of the world has
Wait a minute.
Not been able to hear Pastor Bob?
Not only that, I can't hear me right now here. Can you hear me?
You speak into the mic for sure. Try to do that.
We're actually doing a podcast on Jesus.
Yeah, I think so.
I think, why don't we just replay Jesus Monday?
Yeah, that's one pretty good.
That was a good one, huh?
People don't know
what we're talking about.
Jesus Monday was good. It was a little different. This is, you know, last time we spoke about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to speak about God the Son and God the Father because there are distinctions in the personalities of within the Godhead. So even though there's one God, there are three persons, and we want to encourage you to seek relationship and communion with all three persons and to know each one in a special way, as well as to know them in a united way. But with that being said, let's talk about God the Son. Let's talk about Jesus. And I just want to ask Pastor Bob, and you know, maybe Pastor Liz can jump in, but what are some of your favorite titles for God the Son?
Favorite titles?
Maybe names that the Bible has for him, things that he's known as, maybe some that you personally see as a favorite way to refer to him.
It's, for me, that's pretty easy. Well, there's my name for him. Mm. But then there's the name, the biblical name that I think of him as faithful and true. Mm. That's actually when I think of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I also think of him as a dude. So I don't call him dude, but I think of him as a guy. I think of him as a guy, like, you know, like you and I. Like, that's who he was here on the earth. And apparently, unless he shed everything on the way up, I think he's still that way.
Mm-hmm. He's shared in flesh and blood.
Yeah. And so it's kind of crazy. It's hard. It's just hard to like wrap your mind around in so many ways.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But it's so great. Like, so yeah, I think of him as a guy. Like, I know a guy.
You know, but,
high places.
In high places. But no, faithful and true. Yeah. I would say first. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just a good, he's a good guy that way. Good father.
Yeah.
Even though he's Jesus the Son, he's a good father.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of crazy.
Father of his people, king of the people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Was that weird enough for you? Oh, great. Last one.
We're getting there.
What do you think, Liz? What are some titles you like for Jesus?
I like to call him Josh. You know, that's actually his name.
Josh.
Yahshua.
That's actually his name, right?
But hey, Josh.
We call him Jesus, but it was, you know, Yeshua.
Yeah.
Joshua. Josh.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Yo.
All the religious spirits are going crazy about this one. But this is so, I mean, that's what was so amazingly offensive about Christ and the cross is that God actually shared humanity.
Yeah.
Right.
And he assumed humanity and integrated it. And, you know, you can nitpick the language, but he was fully God and fully man. Mm-hmm. So it's totally right to refer to him as Yeshua or Yahshua or Jesus or Yezu if you're Latin. I don't know. Whatever you want to call him.
Jesus Cruz.
Yeah. Oh, man. We do. Yeah. That's a great name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, some of the titles. Well, what would you say? Yeah. Was that your favorite way?
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know.
I don't really call him Josh. I don't really. Yeah.
Can be.
Because I love the name Jesus. You know, that's how I fell in love with him. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think of, like, you know, when you talk about this song, you know, everybody ought to know who Jesus, like, he's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Yeah. He's the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. He's, what is he?
Yeah.
Faithful and true. Like you said. Yeah.
Wonderful.
The rider on the white horse. Like, there's so many wonderful titles about who he is. The Lion of Judah and the Lamb of God.
Like, yeah. He's, amen.
There's so much in him.
Yeah, there's so many elements. There, he's the judge. He's the king. He's the high priest. Mm-hmm. He's the anointed one. He's the giver, baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. There's just so many things about him. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the name Jesus is how, I love how you said that. That's how we all met him as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, or the first time you heard about him, you heard how he wants to relate to you, mm-hmm. which is, here's my name, Jesus.
How do you?
You know?
What do you think of?
Oh, I call him Jesus, you know. I call him brother. Yeah, no, but I mean, that's, I can't really go. He's closer than a brother, you know. Right. So I mean, that's, I can talk to him that way, and that's what God wants, is that intimacy. I think, like, there's so many awesome titles he has. Like, I think one of the coolest ones is the Desire of the Nations.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That just came to my mind right now. Mm-hmm. But no, there's just so many. I couldn't pick
Captain
a favorite
of
one.
Our salvation. Oof,
man.
Yeah. Just like the idea of him being the sacrifice and being the lamb, that's God that went into that he became the broken one. He didn't stay broken, but yeah, there's so much we'll get into when we talk about God the Son that will just blow your mind. Mm-hmm. It should completely roll your world upside down, and it should roll your religion upside down when you do understand who he is. Mm-hmm. You know, because without Jesus, I don't think we can understand who God truly is. He's the full revelation of him. The Word would be a good.
Yeah.
A good name for him.
And he's wisdom. Yeah. Read the book of Proverbs, that's Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The wisdom of God.
King of kings and Lord of the little lords and the big lords.
The little L's.
Little L's and big L's, yeah.
So when did God the Son, when did this dude begin to exist, Pastor dude. Bob?
When?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
From eternity. Yeah. From everlasting.
You passed the test for
from
that.
Everlasting, everlasting. He
theological
is God.
Test.
Yes. Amen. I mean, it's this. This is the first Bible test I've ever passed.
I know.
Do I get something like a star or like a little certificate?
You get to go to heaven.
We'll send it to you. In
I get to go to heaven. I'll accept that. That sounds like
because you get to heaven based on precise doctrinal statements.
Nice. Just kidding. What were you saying I was going
to
get?
I said we'll send it to you in the mail.
I've got to go. I'm going to go see if it's there now. If you guys don't mind.
Now, what was Jesus doing before he was Jesus? When God the Son before he was Jesus, what was he up to? I know what I just said could be confusing to somebody, so I'll break that down a little bit. So, God the Son, he's always existed. He's the eternally begotten Son.
Yeah.
So God is three persons, one God. Now the Word, right, is the pre-existent eternal second person of the Trinity, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he had the name Yeshua, mm-hmm. right, and so that's when he got his name of Jesus. Which he will have that forever, but before that he didn't have that particular Hebrew name, yet he was still himself. Mm-hmm. Okay, what do you guys think? Like, if we're talking to the audience, helping them know Jesus better, what's his history? What was he doing since the foundation of the earth?
So I don't know. Maybe he did have that name earlier because his father gave it to him. It wasn't a fleshly father that gave it to him. It was his heavenly father who gave him that name.
That's a good
and
point.
And so, hey, he's in eternity with God.
Because what's that name mean?
Oh, he's such a great savior.
Yahweh is salvation.
Yeah, he's just so, yeah. He's eternal. He's great.
Yeah, amen.
I don't know why. When we were talking about Holy Spirit, well, this was something we didn't allow you in on.
Yeah.
Because that was a guy talk.
Right,
you know?
Right.
This one we're letting you in on. But,
thank you.
But I remember we were smiling the whole time, and I find myself doing the same thing now with Jesus, because Jesus, he does make me smile, you know, mm-hmm. And he should. He shouldn't bring shame into your life. He, you know, should be conviction, possibly. Mm-hmm. That's always a nice you know, thing, but shame, no. You know, like he's with him. When I was thinking about him, I just think of him like, come here, come here. It's okay. Like a friend, like a really close friend that I can talk to, and he understands me. Amen. Like that's the strange thing about my personal relationship with Jesus, that I get that he gets me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think I disappoint him.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest. Like, oh, I wasn't really that great a friend there, was I? You know, and but then he's like that friend that sticks closer than the brother, and just like even when you've intentionally disappointed him, when you turn back to him as a friend, he takes you back in and goes, okay, we're gonna work this out, we're gonna walk this out together. Mm-hmm. And so there's some close intimacy there that I experience with him, which I don't know that I would experience that if he didn't take on flesh. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like it's kind of strange because it's easy to think of him as a guy that, you know, like I am, and just be okay with that. Like, oh yeah, you get this. Oh, you experience this.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, huh, okay. So it gives you hope.
Yeah. You know, that was one of my questions too, is what's the significance of him taking on flesh? What's the of the incarnation? And what you mentioned, like he can relate, you can relate to
him.
He was tempted. What else do you guys think?
He was tempted in every way like us, yet temptation. Without sin. And so I think temptation is like, you know, it's part of life. If we think it isn't, if you're one of those people that are running around trying to never be tempted, you're going to be really disappointed. but you're going to be tempted, but you realize that he was also, and he overcame, which is a really good thing, actually. Yeah. It gives me hope.
He didn't he overcame as a man.
Yeah.
You know, not even as the eternal son, but even though he was, he understands what it's like to resist temptation. Yeah. Not just to flick the God mode. That's what I call it, is flip over to God mode.
Flip
just,
the God
mode. Oh, now it's easy to resist, you know, because I'm flipping to God mode. But he's actually like, okay, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm facing this. And then he's able to help those that are tempted in the same way because he has been through it. What do you think, Liz? What are some other like significant things about him taking on flesh?
I think that it's important to remember that Jesus, kind of going back to your other question, he is more than just the sum of the 3 years that we read about in the New Testament, because I think a lot of times people, I hear this a lot, and it's like out there of this, like, well, Jesus, you know, he's this cool guy. He gets me, right? Jesus gets me. And it's like, basically anything I feel like I want to do in my life, like he would get it. He would understand. Like he understands I need money, so I have to do this thing. And he understands I'm weak over here.
Drugs.
And
he understands
he gets me. Desires for this thing. You know, like I'm hearing this like more and more and more around Jesus of like, yeah, he's this cool dude who loves everyone, and he would never shame me, and he would never like, you know, he would just be okay with me, you know? And I'm like, you know, and if you're reading what he actually said, there's no way you could extrapolate that out of it, but like understanding he is the Word, right? So everything you read in the Word is him speaking to you. It is not, there's no separation there. So all of the commandments and judgments and all of that, like that's Christ the Word, and it's Christ's love also. But I think about John a lot, his relationship with Jesus, like meeting him, walking with him, going through the crucifixion with him, seeing him resurrected, and then seeing him in his glorified heavenly state, you know, with like eyes of fire. And like, I just think about, he had this revelation of Christ that was an eternal Christ, that was both his best friend and the eternal righteous God.
Amen.
You know, like, I just think that there's a bigger picture and understanding of Jesus, that those things aren't in competition with each other. Jesus, who is the best brother.
Right.
He's the best brother, and he is the holy King of kings and Lord of lords, who's, you know, hair like wool and feet like brass, and like, you know what I mean? Like, who's like, you fall down dead in front of him, like you're dead, because he's so awe-inspiring, and he's so holy. Mm-hmm. And so that's just, I don't know, it's just something I've been thinking
about. You know, I totally agree with that too, because I think he's fully approachable, but you should approach carefully. Yeah. That's what I always think. I mean, he's God. And when you were talking about that, it reminded me, it seems like years ago, there was this weird song, and it upset me. The first moment I heard it, I don't think I ever listened to it a bunch of times or anything. I just heard about it and then listened, and it was like, and they were talking about, like, what if God was a slob like the rest of us? And I'm like, you're calling God a, what? I'm like, it's so disrespectful. It's so, like, reducing him down. Mm-hmm. Like, when he became flesh and dwelt among us, he didn't reduce down. Yes, he became a little lower than the angels, but he didn't reduce down to garbage and to, no, he was in this, he was like, oh, that's what you had created here on earth. That's the person you were looking for when, you know, created Adam and Eve. That's who they were, you know, well, they were different, obviously, but they were he was looking for people who were, you know, could walk in his righteousness and could live in his life and love the way he does. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like a reduction. It wasn't like he became less. He's still God, and he was a perfect man. That's the other side of it, which is like, that's not a bad thing. That's not like, and so like I said, that song, when I heard it, parts of it, at least the first, it made me mad. Like, no, he ain't. He's not a slob. Maybe you're a slob, but he's not a slob.
I'm just hearing Dr. Evil singing that. But Dr. Evil. Yeah, there was that song is what if God was one of us? It's like, well, he was.
He was.
But he wasn't a slob.
Slob, you know? Like, right.
But yeah, I mean, really, he fulfilled humanity. He fulfilled the original intent of humanity. And the Bible calls him, one of his other titles, the image.
Yes.
The image. You know, so, you know, he united God and man. He united the natures of God and man.
Right.
And so that is actually bringing humanity back to what we were created to be, to image God into the earth.
Right.
And you'll never see him watering down the message, like Liz was saying. You'll never, you will see him shaming people. If you read the Bible, like if the text is our
That's what I'm saying. Guide,
he's not shaming people that are already that are already ashamed of themselves.
Right.
He's encouraging those people. It's people that need to be shamed. Because they're living in a shameful way.
Yes.
That he's very blunt. He's like, look, woe to you. You're vipers. You're a brood of vipers. You're sons of the viper, sons of the serpent. You know, and you're like, wow, that's Jesus. Yes, that's the word of God. It's a hammer. It's a fire. It's a burden. It's everything that Jeremiah says it is. Mm-hmm. He is.
Yeah.
As well as the healing agent and the restoring, the life-giving, the resurrecting agent of the word of God. Everything about the word is everything about him. And so, yeah, the word is far more than the text on the page, but he fulfills the text on the page, and he brings it to you in a way you can interact with it and maybe be offended by it and maybe be healed by it.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. Well, I think the God of the Old Testament, which, by the way, was the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit,
right,
and the God of the New Testament, which was and is Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, he's all present. They didn't really change.
Not at all.
Like, and they're not at all. Mm-hmm. And the one thing they shamed, if you want to call it that word, shamed, is they didn't shame people who just like had fallen into sin necessarily. Who they shamed were people who had fallen into their own religion to make themselves God or idols in the Old Testament, idols, or just made their own religion in the New Testament. So that's why he could be together with sinners and draw them to the Father and totally oppose the people who were whited sepulchers. And they had every, you know.
Yeah.
They were making their own religion up.
Well, what did he say, right? He said, I came for this purpose, that those who see would become blind and those who are blind would see.
Right.
So just like such profound stuff. Right. Like, wow. Like if he hadn't sent his son, we couldn't know God. We couldn't receive our sight, you know, but of course other people oppose that, you know, we don't want to see sometimes. So,
well, I think a sinner, comes to the realization somewhere along the line that they're sick, that they're a sinner.
Well, that's
And I think a religious person never comes to that realization.
Yeah. I mean, the word exposes and it diagnoses, mm-hmm. right? Like there has to be an accurate diagnosis before there's healing mm-hmm. applied. And I think mm-hmm. that's what we see there. I don't think it was an intention to, well, we know he's not condemning.
Right.
Right. It's always to expose, to reveal, to open eyes for them and everyone around them, right? Because he's not just talking to them in a private setting, like, mm-hmm. hey, you guys got this. He's like trying to get people to understand what's been happening. This is not God.
Right.
This isn't God. Right. Like, this is not God's heart toward you to oppress you this way. Mm-hmm. This is not your father. Like, this is because he's there to represent his father
yes.
to his children, right? Who've been like under severe bondage.
Yeah.
And so, like, when things are done like that publicly, they need to be addressed publicly. Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing. Like, these people are, they're not representing the father that I'm representing to you, mm-hmm. you know? So he's like, just like, let's expose what's really happening here. Because I came to bring something different. I came to bring actual life to you.
Well, he actually brought a real clear distinction
yeah.
between God and religion. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He made it abundantly clear. And because religion cannot get down into the nitty-gritty to actually bring people to the knowledge of Christ and bring people to the knowledge of the Father, it won't go there.
Right.
It doesn't want to get its hands dirty there. It doesn't, you know, it's all of they're doing is pushing people away from God in reality. And here's Jesus. Like I said, you're getting convicted by Holy Spirit, but he's like, I'm here. Come on. Mm-hmm. You know, come on this way. Mm-hmm. Don't sin anymore.
Yeah.
Like it's, you know, but this is how we work this out. yeah. It's,
yeah. I heard a message today by Jeremiah Johnson. And he was talking about how, Jesus said, I came to set captives free. And he said it in the synagogue. He didn't say it with the masses. And so the word actually comes to release people that are under bondage.
Yes.
You know, and so that's his anointing, is that he comes to release people that are being controlled and oppressed, whether that's of sin or whether that's of religion, self-righteousness, whatever it is, the word can set you free from that. And he also came, another function of the word, it says in Hebrews that he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Mm-hmm. And that he actually came to hold things together again, bring things together again, to unite God and man, to unite nation with nation, race with race, gender with gender, that were split. Like, he actually comes to uphold and to hold together mm-hmm. Through his ministry. And so it's amazing that he's this peacemaker. You know, that God sent him in there. Yeah, he does make a division. Mm-hmm. There's so many paradoxes to him.
Right.
Lion and lamb, right? Mm-hmm. Divider and peacemaker. Mm-hmm. It's hard to accept all that, but you see it. You would never believe it if you didn't see it harmonized in one person,
right?
In Christ. Right. And it should also be seen in his body. It should be seen in us. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, the standard we're trying to align ourselves with, to walk in his word.
Well, he who formed the earth and formed the universe would probably be the best one to put it back together once it's fractured.
Probably.
I mean, just saying.
The only one, yeah, yeah, exactly. So I have a cool, I think it's a cool idea for me, but I want to talk about it. But how has Jesus changed your life individually? I mean, you could go on over and over again, but what just come into your mind when I ask that? Do you have something?
I mean, I would not be here if it wasn't for Jesus. Uh-huh. Like, I actually probably wouldn't have been born if
yeah.
he didn't save my parents, and especially my dad. Like, mm-hmm. he was drug addicted and on his way to total destruction, mm-hmm. and Jesus came and visited him
yeah.
in his room and spoke to him. So, I mean, that's like, I kind of owe him everything, you know?
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. So a personal visit from Jesus oh, yeah. that changed everything about my whole family wow, that's awesome. Line. So I don't know how, it's like, there's so much I could say.
Mm-hmm.
And then just for me personally, I mean, he's everything. He's,
yeah.
I don't remember a time when I didn't love him, mm-hmm. you know?
That's so good. What about you, Pastor Bob?
Yeah. Well, same thing. I don't think I'd be here without him, just because, you know, I think my family would have been killed in the Holocaust, and then I, you know, that would be the end of the whole line. I was actually talking about this with our family the other night at dinner. I was like, this is interesting. My grandmother and grandfather got out, just in time, their family was killed during that time. That somehow they escaped. And so now, because of that, I'm like, we're here, and my kids and my grandkids. And so I see that as a, you know, the hand of the Lord. Fast forward to, you know, my life with him. I, unlike you, was not happy with God and didn't like him. And so I ran away from him at a very young age. And that didn't seem to matter much to him, because he drew me back somehow with, you know, when I didn't love him, he loved me, you know. And that, I don't know. That's how I think of him now. Like, he cared for my soul when I did not care for him.
Yeah.
And that's like, so that's so welded into my being now. Like, I realize, no matter how, where I'm going in life, I realize, oh yeah, you know, that, you know, scripture's like, he who began a good work in you is able to bring it, you know, into the fruition of it. I think about that. I think, oh yeah, you started all this. Mm-hmm. You finish it. And then, you know, the personal relationship now, it's great. You know, it's just great to be with him and to, you know, spend time and talk with him. And yeah, I don't know. It's very personal. I don't know. It's hard to put a very personal thing like that, like, just throw it out there. It's
no, but that's great. So many facets. I mean, both of you guys, those are awesome. I mean, it's the testimony of Jesus in your life, and that just sharing that with people, being willing to share, like, I wouldn't be here if not for Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, my family, like, sharing those things are very, very powerful. And that's how we're a witness. You know, we're actually just telling what Jesus has done for us. And, yeah, you know, like, for me, he's just everything. It's hard to put it in words, but, like, with him, everything makes sense in my life. Like, when he came and became real to me, I said, you know, oh, finally, there's someone worth everything. Yeah. There's someone who fulfills beauty, who fulfills glory, fulfills holiness, who will redeem the creation, who will redeem my life, mm-hmm. who will walk with me through anything. And that's been my testimony, is just through everything, he's never abandoned me. And that, you know, when I don't deserve it, he still prays for me, and he still talks to me, and he intervenes and sends people to me, and he just never gives up, you know? And so you need that friend that's closer than a brother, that will walk with you through anything. Mm. And that is what Jesus gives you, that a belief system or, you know, riches or whatever else can never give you. Mm-hmm. Personal relationship with him, that's what it's given me. He's made me the person that I want to be, and I'm still not there yet, but you know, I would be way different. I would be way different if it wasn't.
Well, I think, you know, just thinking back, when the first question you asked me is what I think of when I think mm-hmm. of Jesus, and I said faithful and true. It kind of came out pretty quick like that, because I realized that he, when I would have none of him, he still didn't give up on me. And that's, and I, you know, I know that from, you know, I'm just speak to someone listening to, is that, like, he's faithful and true to you too. Like, maybe you felt like maybe you don't know him and you'd like to know him, or maybe you've known him and you've kind of grown cold and just turned away and, you know, in different ways. Heck, you might still be attending a church, but still, you know, or call yourself a Christian, but your heart's grown kind of away. But he's still faithful and true to you. Like, that's the craziest part about our God, is that no matter where you go to, he's still God. He's still true. Jesus is still faithful. And Jesus is still your Savior. That's your deliverer, the only one that can actually reach down and grab you, much like the Bible talks about, like a brand out of the fire when your life's in the fire, and just take you back to himself. Like, he doesn't change. Mm-hmm. And so I can't, you know, stress that enough to maybe someone who's listening, that that's who he is actually, and that he never changes there.
Yeah. And I would just say, your quarrel is not with him.
Right.
Whoever you think your quarrel is with, whether it's with God the Father or the church or a pastor or whatever, I can tell you it's not with Jesus.
Yeah.
Because he's the one that bled for you.
Yeah.
So you need to deal with that. Like, people that are drifting and they're like, oh, what's God done for me? This and that. You need to deal with the fact that it's, you know, what has Jesus done for you? You start recalling that to your mind.
Yeah.
And let that show you who the Father really is. and let that reel you back in, because the enemy's got you deceived. He's got you drifting. Mm-hmm. You know, your quarrel is not with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not the one that did you wrong in any way. And so, yeah, I could go on that, yeah. But I feel a godly jealousy of, like, for his name, that he has done everything he could possibly do and laid down his blood and his life to win your heart. And, you know, people, you know, you can get deceived. The enemy doesn't want you to look at that. If you sit there and you think about it for a few minutes, it'll be really hard to deny. You'll have to say, oh, it was all legend. It was all fake. You'll have to start going there. Because if you really accept that he is this, that this is what God is like, you'll say, wow, okay, like, I'm sorry. I've been off. Okay, I can go off on that more. But
no, it's a great place to go off on, right?
I mean, so just really think about it. Really behold him and see. Mm-hmm. See if it doesn't help you, okay? Kind of building on this, you mentioned faithful and true. What are the most striking characteristics or personality traits that you feel best describe the person of the Son? You guys have any thoughts? Like, when you think of him, like, is there anything that comes in where you're like, you know, I would just say this about Jesus. You mentioned faithful and true. I don't know if we can go more on that, or if there's something you have.
He's incredibly joyful.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the strongest characteristics that I always experience with him. And he will all, I think I've said this before, he will always tell me the truth, but I never feel condemned by him.
Yeah. No, that's so awesome. Yeah.
It's never like a him against me. It's always him with me.
Mm. Yeah. You know, to me, I love that. Because it's so true what you guys are saying. Like, I would say those things too, but, just something else that's rattling around in my mind is his servanthood, his meekness, you know, that's always what struck me about him, is that it's God serving us.
Yeah. Right.
If you think about that.
Right.
That is, to me, the characteristic of Jesus that stands out. Of course, the Father serves and the Holy Spirit serves. They're one. Okay. Yeah. But he expresses that service through the servant, the suffering servant, Christ. And he was willing to serve slaves, women, foreigners, lepers, the person betraying him, the people crucifying him. He's willing to wash their feet. You know, he's willing to do those things. If people assimilate that, it changes the world.
Mm-hmm.
If people follow that, you can't stop that.
Right.
You can't stop that. Like, that love is absolutely unconquerable. But it's such a standard that we want to substitute a different, here's what it actually means to follow Jesus. It's not that. Hmm. It's you can actually hate your enemies. You can actually hold grudges. Hmm. You can actually be the Lord and not the servant. You know, you can actually, and it's this false following of him. That's not who he is. And so, you know, people are like, I don't like Christians. They're hypocrites. It's like, again, your quarrel is not with Christ.
Right.
He was always who he was. Mm-hmm. And who he was a humble, meek servant.
Hmm.
I love what Liz said about the joy too. Because remember, he said, my joy is going to be in you and your joy is going to be full. Mm-hmm. He said that when he was about to go to the garden and weep, sweat blood,
mm-hmm.
and weep and pray. And he's about to get crucified. And he said, you know what you guys are going to have? You're going to have my joy. Imagine how joyful he was.
Right.
Like, imagine how strong he was with that amount of joy. He's been anointed with the oil of gladness beyond all his companions. Mm-hmm. So I think that's an incredibly good point. That's I think where he would draw the strength to serve. And mm-hmm. yeah, anyway, I could talk all day about Jesus.
good thing.
So what's Jesus doing right now? What's he up to right now? He's in Tahiti with our friends.
Chicken
right
and fish.
A latte. eating cheese. He's eating it. Cheese, I'm pretty sure right now. Cheese and some fish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He deserves
some of that spicy fish.
Spicy fish.
What's that? Yeah. Like a spicy tuna roll?
You know, when they put spicy sushi on the fish, it's the best way to eat them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe those 153 fish his guys caught, he made some sashimi. You know,
that's why Peter jumped in the water and swam he was coming in for some spicy fish. Spicy.
Hot jambalaya.
Yeah, oh, man. He just piles it all on
the joy of Jesus. That's what I like to do. He's like, in the kingdom, we're going to drink wine. Oh, I just offended somebody.
Oh, no, not that.
Right. What do you think? What's he doing? What's his ministry right now? What's Jesus up to these days? Is chillaxing?
Well, I think we're always on his mind.
Yeah.
So because of that, he's always speaking to the Father for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen.
I mean, that's, you know, biblically, that's what's going on. Yeah. He's making that full intercession for us. And I think that intercession, by the way, along with everything else about Jesus, you know, the stuff we, you know, we know him as personally, like, you know, his joy and all that, mm-hmm. is it comes from his steadfast love. Mm. Like everything proceeds out of this steadfast, eternal love for us. Mm-hmm. Like, not, I mean, and because of that,
amen.
Like when you love somebody, you will intercede for them. Like you will go, you'll go to bat for them. And it won't be because of something you're getting. It's not selfish, right? So the steadfast love is such a, it's a love that just comes, it's all giving, which by the way, that's who he was, right? When he came to give,
yes.
to, you know, serve, to all those things.
Lay down his
life. And so, you know, so I would say that, yeah, he's, yes. The theological is he's making intercession for us right now. You know why? Because he's so in love with us. Like it's just, and I think he's, I actually think right now he's also like, you know, hey, that's my guy down there. That's my girl down there. That's who, you know, we're connected. You know,
yeah,
there's like, I believe there's a intense spiritual connection with him. Like, it's kind of crazy. It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
Since we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, since, you know, the same spirit that raised him raises us, all of those wonderful, crazy things that are hard to wrap our minds around, he actually is that, living in that. He's living through us right now since he's the head and we're the body. We're fully connected.
It's a key point.
Yeah, it's a little crazy. So it's a little too much. There's a whole thing there. We can go off on a little theological down the river for forever. But it's all this stuff that we are
mystical
so.
Mystical union.
Yes. No, we are so fully connected with him because of his love. Like I want, like I said, I want to get back to his steadfast love because of that. That's what compels him. That's what should compel us also.
Amen.
And he that's who he is. I got to believe he's like. Up there thinking about us now. The God, you know, he knows every hair on your head. Not mine. Your head. Yours too. But and not roses. Roses would all three of them.
Too much work, Rose.
It's a lot of work for Jesus.
I suppose the world
can't count that high, apparently.
Yes.
What else? Is he doing anything else, Liz?
What else is he doing right now?
He's sitting down.
Yeah.
At the right
hand. You know, like he finished his work.
Yeah.
He's sitting and ruling. And, I think, I mean, you talk about like, cause he lives in eternity, right? So he's always the Lamb of God. He's always presenting his blood. He's always interceding, but he's seated. He's not striving for mastery. No, you know, like he accomplished his work. He was obedient and he fulfilled God's plan, you know? Yeah. And so he sits in ultimate authority. His authority is not threatened in any way.
Right.
Being seated, that's the position of confidence.
Yeah. Love that.
I love that you said he's in eternity. And the first thing I thought of is, I wonder if you plug that into GPS where it ends up.
I think you hit your head.
I
know.
Can I have the sunglasses, please? Yeah. Seated in heavenly places. I wonder how you get there.
Oh, my God. Well, there's one way.
There is one way. Actually, there's a couple of ways. Biblically, there were a couple of ways.
True, but the most common. We could help you out with that.
Some of those ways were like first class.
Stand at the door and Enoch.
Enoch.
Oh, my gosh.
Bible joke.
Wow. Okay.
Bible joke.
Okay, so how about this question? So Jesus is the Son, right? It's the Son of God?
Yes.
I thought we were sons.
Yeah.
Right. Are we like lesser... Are we lesser sons? Are we little s sons?
Little s.
What do you think about this?
She's a daughter. I don't think she's a son.
No, I think you know, we're all
a son daughter.
No, there is no male or female. All are
son daughter.
Huloi.
Jew or Greek?
Jew?
How do you pronounce that in Greek? The Wilos or something like that? Wias? Sons?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
well, it depends if you're a mature son.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So.
I'm not that advanced.
Anyways, you'll get it.
Oh, yes, or
you'll get this. I'm not even at all in it. So
son or daughter. That's all I know.
Son or daughter.
Yeah. I only know that the Greek alphabet. but yeah, what are we sons in the same way that he is a son? I mean, he's God, right? Could we be that? I'm gonna try to throw you guys a
Here. Can we be God?
No, what kind of sons are we? Are we the same kind of son as Jesus? Is that a little arrogant?
Yes, it's great. Yes. That's it.
Keep offending the religious spirits.
Well, since we get all the religious spirits out. If he was the firstborn among many sons, brethren.
Oh, yeah, that's right? Bible verse.
Yeah, Bible verse. Okay, I'll go away from there. But, I mean, that means there's others that were brought into sonship.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I think so.
And, you know, are seated in heavenly places with him. In that sonship, which is a little crazy to wrap your mind around, that we killed off the religious spirits and then we brought all the wackos in to talk about that. But we're sons, like fully sons. I think it's probably the biggest processing component of our Christian walk that we have to go through that probably makes us crazy a little at times, and we forget about it, and then we don't operate like a son, even though we're a son. I think it's the biggest component of our walk that we have to believe in and walk in. And even when you're not believing, you're still a son. That's the weird strangeness about it.
Yeah.
And so, sonship is crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think, Liz? Yeah.
Go ahead, Liz. Help me out here. I just ran around the whole, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yes, absolutely. We are sons born of the same spirit of God that Jesus was born of. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing about being born again, is that you're reborn of God, right? Just like Jesus, just like Christ was. I think, are we God the same way Jesus is? No. But we are in Christ, right? So there's like, we're not just sons. We are in the Son.
Yeah.
You know, so there's equal access to resources of the kingdom, to inheritance, right? That's the whole new covenant that he made with his blood, is that we are equal partakers, sharers in the inheritance of Christ. So do we have the same authority and jurisdiction as he does? No. Right. As individuals.
Yeah. As individuals. Way,
right. Yep. But we are his body. So like, how you can distinguish, like, he's a better son.
Yeah.
He's a higher son than we are. I don't think that's accurate, especially if we are one with him. We are his body.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Athanasius, he said what Jesus is by nature, we are by adoption.
Yeah.
We have come into that sonship. We've received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And so, I mean, I don't think he's like, this is my son. This is my son. You know, I don't think he's really,
this is my adopted
I don't think
son.
He's in, he's like, you know, we didn't really want him too much, you know.
He's kind of the black sheep of the family.
I guess I have to take him because Jesus died for him. You know, it's not like that. You know, he's pleased in us. We're accepted in the beloved. We're in the beloved, you know, we're one with him. Whoever's joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. You know, like my kid is the same flesh and blood as me. It's the same nature. The kid doesn't have all my same attributes, all my same abilities, but the kid has my nature. You know, like that's to me, the Lord was talking to me about that. He's like, I love you. You're my son. I gave my son to win back my other sons. You know, it's just like this mind-blowing thing that, of course, we're not the eternally begotten creator of the universe like Jesus, but we're sons. Like, we're his family. And sometimes it's just hard to get it with the religious upbringing that we have and the distinction that gets made, which there should be that distinction. We worship Jesus. We don't worship other humans.
Right.
But there's an acceptance that's so profound and so complete And it shows God's love. It shows just his union with us, and it shows why he did what he did in the first place.
I love that the Lord talks about it as adoption, because if anyone's ever experienced adoption, my only experience with around adoption was my grandson when he was adopted by his new dad. And it was interesting going to court for that, because we all went there and we were all dressed. I mean, it was like a spectacular day, but it was so intense, the way it was approached, even from the legal system, which is interesting, which I think was inspired by the Lord here. Mm-hmm. But it's like you are fully brought in. Mm-hmm. There's no like secondary, you know, you're not really, no, you're fully brought in, and you know, you're taking on everything of sonship.
Yeah.
And the thing that always got me about adoption is you get your kids, right? But you get to, you pick someone you're adopting. Like they're yours. You're up gone after. They can't make you adopt them, right? We couldn't do that to God. We love him because he first loved us. So he went after us and pulled us and adopted us to himself, which is so, there's so much greatness about that. It's so good feeling. It's like, like adoption is not a secondary thing. It's like not secondary.
It's God's plan, right? He's like, so he predestined us for adoption to himself and his sons in love.
Yes. It's so good.
That's his desire.
Yeah.
That's
amazing. Yeah. I think also even beyond that, because there's the adoption component, but it's like, and we can't experience this in a natural way, but it's like, if you could adopt someone and then completely take their place for every past thing they've experienced, and like a natural born son,
right?
Right. Say like, not only am I going to rejoice that you're being adopted into the family, but I'm actually going to trade places with you, and all of your past orphanhood, I'm going to take on myself and give you all of my future as a natural born son.
To totally like redeem
that's,
the past.
Yeah, like
totally
that's,
redeem the past.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's what Jesus did.
It's so good. Right. Like, right? Isn't it? It's just so good.
And let me make you a partaker of my own nature.
Right. Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's pretty amazing. Like, if Jesus hadn't come, this wouldn't happen. So this is what's important. This is like, this is the gospel, you know? Like, you can't give this news to anybody if he didn't actually decide to come. Yeah. And he's like, nobody takes my life. Like you guys are saying, I lay it down freely for them.
I love it.
You know, for the joy set before him.
Yeah. Well, and we're talking, you know, it's hard to talk about Jesus without talking about his gospel, right? That's what everything we've actually talked about just now is all his gospel. It's in a different way, right? It's in a great way. Because he brings you to, like you were saying, with adoption, he brings you to that trading floor. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm giving you all of me. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking back, I'm redeeming back all of your past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's a man.
Yeah. I mean, it says in John 11:51, he said the high priest inadvertently prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. He said, this is why I'm coming, because there are many lost sons, there are many lost daughters, and I'm gathering them back to their dad.
Yeah.
I'm bringing them home. I'm bringing my brothers home.
Right. Isn't it crazy that God used a evil, you know, Pharisee high priest guy to speak his truth, his prophetic word in the time it was happening? Mm. Like fully, that always.
Let's kill him. It's better that one person dies than the whole nation.
Yeah. Who knows? You know, the way he said it, it was like the way he said it was probably that way. And then the way you just read it is like, oh no, that's the Father talking. He's just happened to be using this guy to speak. You know, speak.
Yeah. What about this? Did God the Son die?
Yes.
Is that too deep of a question?
Not for me. Yes.
Oh yeah. No.
I actually believe he fully died.
Uh-huh. Like spirit, soul, and body.
Spirit and soul and body, which now we just lost the other half. Uh-huh. Now there's one person sitting there scratching their head going, what are they talking
people
about?
People that believe God's quote-unquote invulnerable or whatever. No.
No. He had the to lamb, yield up vulnerable. The ghost. He had to yield it himself up.
And he is, you know, I mean, what is the punishment of a covenant? You get cut in two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he took on the the sanction of the covenant, that we broke the covenant, so we deserve to be cut off from God the Father. So he took our place and he was cut off from God the Father.
Well, the only way for us to experience full resurrection, body, soul, and spirit, was for him to experience full death.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Body, soul, and spirit. Completely. And be resurrected by the same power, same spirit, raised Christ from the dead.
Dwell in you.
I mean, everything you see in Jesus, I mean, maybe we can wrap this up by just saying, like, what you find to be, like, the most beautiful about him.
It's hard to wrap up Jesus.
I know. Or maybe just one last. Say that. Maybe one last.
In a nutshell.
In a nutshell. In a nutshell. Yeah. We're not wrapping Jesus up. We're just taking off now, and then people just go off, because they should go off after listening to us dink around this stuff and actually talk about God, our Father, our Lord, our love, you know, Jesus, the greatness of it. But they should go off and just still say Selah, like just spend some time with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Maybe we can end with you guys.
I love it.
That's a good way of saying it. But maybe give them one thing they can launch into more. Just one quality to leave them with that they could meditate about. People listening could meditate about Jesus. Whatever he puts to your heart, you know?
You're the boss. You do it all. So good.
What about you, Bob?
One thing to meditate on Jesus about?
Yeah.
That's a good
thing. I'll throw one out first just while you guys
please help us.
While you guys are praying and asking God.
We're leaving these people with one last thing. What happens if they get nothing else?
No, but think about how dirty he had to get.
Dirty.
Think about all the times in his life that he had to get super dirty. Just think about that. Just meditate about it. He had to be born. He had to be in a stable. He had to, become a carpenter. He had to work. He had to raise all his many, many brothers and sisters, change diapers. He had to walk around Judea. Like he probably got stuff thrown at him. He had to touch lepers. You know, he got dirt under his fingernails. He was bloodied. He was whipped. He was tortured. He died. He was buried in a tomb. And that's God, you know? And that's something I've been thinking about recently is like, we think of like, oh, God is, you know, he's so clean. He is clean, but maybe clean means something different than you think it means, you know? Like he was willing to go through so much just being soiled by the world and getting so much on him and so much done to him. But he was willing to do it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe that would be a fruitful thing for somebody to dwell on that for a little bit. Maybe it would motivate you in some areas. You know, maybe motivate me in some areas.
Well, I'll just go with this. It's as strange as it gets. I want you to think about Jesus in hell, and death could not hold him.
Amen.
It could not. And like you were saying earlier, by the power of God, the glory of God raised him out of that, and that same glory, as you go thinking about him in hell, can raise you right where you're at.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I was gonna say his humanity, that everything he did as a man. And I think sometimes we really just kind of put him in the magical creature category, you know, like fairy tale Jesus, you know, like where nothing affected him and nothing, like he just went through life and was like, I only do what the Father tells me. Right. Like just like floated through, you know, those 3 years. It's kind of like what you were saying. Like I read this book once about the humanity of Jesus and I hated every minute of it because this person was like, he wasn't God. He just did all these things. And anyway, I was reading this, but by the end of it, he was just talking about the thing that impressed me the most or pressed on me the most, I would say, is he was talking about like, what culturally he would have experienced and how that would have affected his soul and his mind and his emotions and like the rejection he experienced and the misunderstandings he experienced and the lack of faith of the people around him, especially his disciples, you know, like those things, he was a person, he was a human being, he was a man. Yep. Like those things weighed on him. He had to deal with those things. Yeah. You know, it wasn't like he was just like, oh, that's okay. You denied me. And, you know, my family, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, I only see, you know, I listen, you know, like he just, it wasn't like that. Fire. Yeah, it wasn't like that. Like, he had the things that burden us and the things that weigh on us and the things that trouble our minds. Mm-hmm. He had to deal with those things, and he had to bring them into subjection, and he had to bring them to the Father. You know, like, the when he's praying in Gethsemane, that wasn't the first time that he probably anguished about something, but with the Lord, you know, like, probably, I think that aspect of him and what he actually living a life of submission to the Father and obedience to the Father and fulfilling his purpose, what that actually took for him to do that.
Yeah. That, when you think about those kinds of things, and you I think when you're speaking like that, I just think of the humility. He didn't just talk about, he didn't just, you know, present it as a theology. He actually lived it. And that kind of humility has such a power associated with it. And the pain, right? But I mean, for us to think about us stepping into a place like that, to be humble, and in that sense, not the weird sense of humility, and you know, that's part of him just so speaks to my life. I'm like, oh, that's a different kind of a life to live.
Yeah.
One that's submitted in humility. Well, by the way, these people are living on the sphere he created.
Right. I'm like, don't you know who I am?
Along with
I'm the living bread.
Right. Everything you've ever seen, ever will see, or could possibly see, I made. Right. And now, you know, and now he's having to submit to this world, but not yield to the weirdness of the world. Like, he showed how, anyway, there's so much there.
There is,
With all that mistreatment, with all that mistreatment that he endured, it says, knowing all that would happen to him, he went forward and said, if you seek me, let these men go.
Yeah.
Well, that's the hero that, who God the Son is.
Oh, come on now. Right. Yeah.
That's, he's your hero, you know, and that's, he's the hero of the church and he's the hero of the world. He's the hero of the story. It can never be about anything other than his glory. That if that if anything else is your center point, there's going to be division. There's going to be division in the church, division in the mission. You know, I believe that he, if we're in awe of this hero, who's humble, he's going to put all enemies under his feet. If we get other stuff in our mind, it's not gonna end well. It'll be a lot like church history. That's been. but there's a way forward, and he is that way. So with that, I think we'll draw it to a close, and tune in next time for the one that Jesus said, "Hey, you'd rejoice if you knew where I was going, because the Father is great." You know, and we'll talk about the Father next time. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode, and for more information, visit spiritschoolofministry.com.